possible.
That one, huh?
All right, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff Blair. Jeff is going to be our facilitator for the special occupancy TAC meeting today. Jeff?
Thank you, Daryl. Welcome, everybody. I need everybody to focus in. We're going to start on time because I'll explain in a second. The first order of business is I'm going to conduct a roll call. Commissioner Phillips.
Here.
Gene Shalecki.
Here.
Ken Cureton.
Here.
Frank Frail. Frank's not here. Charles Frank.
I'm here.
Jim Genus. Doug Melvin.
Here.
Philip Sanders. Bob Vincent.
Here.
Scott Wallace.
Here.
All right, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 7 of 10, so we do have a quorum. So the first order of business is to review and approve the agenda. And the agenda, of course, is to go through the 70 modifications proposed to the code, as well as the one local technical amendment, and to approve the July 31st meeting minutes. Unless there's any questions, Mr. Chairman, would entertain a motion to approve the agenda as posted.
Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as posted?
I'll make a motion.
Frank, do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need to ask you to please state your name when you're speaking for the recordings. Thank you.
All right.
It's Charlie Franks that indicated the motion, and I'm sorry,
Gene
Shalecki, that's right. With second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
All right.
Agenda approved.
Next, is there any revisions and or additions to the July 31st, 2015 meeting minutes that were posted? If not, we look for a motion to approve them as they were posted.
Gene Shalecki, motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Scott? Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion approved.
Very good, Mr. Chairman. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to review the process that we'll be using, and then we'll start. If everybody would please put their phones into a silent mode, I will not ask you to turn it off because I know that's never going to happen, and I wouldn't turn mine either, so I'm good with silent. All right. There's a lot of things to kind of review, so I want to run through them and explain things. One of the things to keep in mind is that we have 70 modifications plus one local technical amendment, and we have, you know, approximately, well, if we work straight through lunch till 5 p.m., that gives us 7 hours. Just to give you an example, if we spent 6 minutes per mod, which is 2 public comments per mod, that would take 7 hours of time. So you can see that we're going to have to move through. The chair has implemented a 3-minute time limit. I have a timer on my phone, which I will use. So anybody who wishes to speak to the modification will have 3 minutes. What would be useful is if there's multiple people who want to say the same things, and what we've always done in the past is not to repeat the comment, but just state agreement. That gives you the same weight to the TAC, but it also saves time. We have a controversial one, we will allow one rebuttal on each side to new points, and the rebuttal limits are limited to 2 minutes, so there'll be only one rebuttal for pro and con, not one each. Figure out who it would be. Usually it's the proponent, and there's usually one person who's on either side of it that's the most vocal who will take that on. A proponent may withdraw their modification at any time, so once I introduce it, if you wish to withdraw it, say so and we'll withdraw it. That'll be that. We won't take it up. What we'll have, and I'll go over this in a minute, is a standing motion to approve. The commission's rules do not allow for motions to deny. So the presumption is we have a motion, a standing motion on the floor, which I will read to you in a few minutes, and we'll approve the motion, and you'll just say second. And then we'll have discussion on it. But so we'll hear from the proponent, we'll hear from those, and then we'll ask, is there a second? If there's a second, then my recommendation is that we always do a second, even if you want to vote against it. What happens is if it dies for a lack of a second, then the proponent Well, it's out of the system. It can't be considered again at the next TAC meeting. So the proponent will not have an opportunity to try to make corrections or revisions based on comment. So what you can do, you can signal by saying, I second it for the purposes of a negative roll call. And then if it doesn't achieve 75%, it gets what's called no affirmative recommendation. But the proponent has an opportunity to then, if they, based on what the comments were, to try to address those for the next 45-day period, and the TAC can consider that again as revised. We're not going to try to amend modifications here on the floor. And what we've done in the past is we've asked TAC members to provide comments to the proponent on what the concerns are, so the proponent can then take those and try to address those and resubmit them for the next 45-day period, and then you'll have an opportunity at the second go-around to make a decision on whether the proponent addressed your concerns as a TAC. So if the modification receives a 75% favorable, either as submitted or as modified, and we're asking you to limit modifications to minor things, if there is a proposed amendment, it has to be in writing, it has to be sufficient copies for each member, and there has to be an electronic version to put on the screen. But as always, we're discouraging that at this time, because we do have the process that allows the proponent then to take comments and resubmit for the second go-around, in which case they can address the concerns and have time to do it properly, and then you can consider it at that time. So I'm requesting that we don't let any modification die for a lack of second, so that we allow the proponent, any proponent, whether they're here or not, an opportunity to address or make changes if they need to. If that's agreeable to folks. So it is helpful if you're not supportive of it, but just to offer the second and say something along the lines, second for the purposes of negative roll call or second for the purposes of approval, that'll kind of signal folks, and then we can discuss it and then we'll take the vote. But if we get a second right away, as soon as the public comment is over, I'll say, is there a second? Somebody please offer the second, even if you're opposed to it, and again, you can suggest that. The modifications are required to address multiple statutory requirements, which I think when I go read the standing motion, it will address those. If the TAC decides to make any changes, which again, we were asking you to wait to the second 45-day review period, then you'll have to address all of those same statutory requirements in your amendment. Now, if you're changing one word "duh" to "a" or something, it's editorial. We won't have to get into that. But if it's anything substantive, we will. If you vote against the amendment, if it does not pass, does not achieve 75%, one person should offer like a one-sentence rationale for the denial. I voted against the amendment based on the fact that I think it's a conflict or whatever it is. You know, just offer something that we can capture. Now, Marlita is going to have to capture that. We want it to be short and succinct. A sentence would be best, but something that addresses the rationale for, and it's usually pretty obvious based on the discussion what the concerns are with it. But we do want to capture the rationale for denial. To be more accurate, the recommendation for denial. Obviously, the commission makes all the decisions. These are recommendations. So remember, the TAC will have a second opportunity after a second 45-day review period. Proponents will have an opportunity to address the concerns, and that'll be at the July meeting. The TAC will be taking the second time up in July. So the proponent will have between now and then, or now and the deadline, which will be posted, to make any changes to the modification, as will others who want to provide comments on those. Okay, I know most of you have been through this many times. Sure. All right, so the next order of business is I want to read the standing motion.
Can I interrupt you for one moment, please? Point of order. Can we have a roll call to confirm quorum on our recording?
The recording was on.
There was no roll call.
Yes, there was a roll call.
I didn't hear.
And it was recorded.
Pardon me.
No problem. Has anybody joined us since then? Members? No, we still have the same group. We had Daryl Phillips, Gene Chalecki, Ken Curitan, Charles Frank, Doug Melvin, Bob Vincent, and Scott Waltz. 7 of 10. Okay. The motion is to move to recommend approval of the proposed modifications by the Technical Advisory Committee based on the following findings. A, the modification is needed in order to accommodate the specific needs of this state, and B, the modification has a reasonable, substantial connection to the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, and C, the modification strengthens or improves the Florida Building Code, or in the case of innovation or new technology, will provide equivalent or better products or methods or systems of construction, and D, the modification does not discriminate against materials, products, methods, or systems of construction of demonstrated capabilities, and E, the modification does not degrade the effectiveness of the Florida Building Code, and F, the modification has the following fiscal impact. One, the fiscal impact of enforcement imposed upon local government is as indicated by the proponent. The fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon building and property owners is as indicated by the proponent. The fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon industry is as indicated by the proponent. The fiscal impact of compliance imposed upon small business is as indicated by the proponent. No impact or as specified by the proponent. G, the modification's benefits noted with regard to fiscal impact and efficacy outweigh the costs imposed. H, the modification does not diminish requirements related to wind resistance or prevention of water intrusion contained in the code or its referenced standards and criteria. I, Florida-specific amendments that expired with the updated code and are resubmitted as amendments to the updated code have addressed whether, one, the provisions contained in the proposed amendment are addressed in the applicable international code. Two, the amendment demonstrates by evidence or data that the geographical jurisdiction of Florida exhibits a need to strengthen the foundation code beyond the needs or regional variations addressed by the foundation code, and why the proposed amendment applies to this state. Three, the proposed amendment was submitted or attempted to be included in the foundation codes to avoid resubmission to the Florida Building Code amendment process. Mr. Chairman, if you would ask for a motion and a second to approve the standing motion.
Yes, call for a motion.
Need a motion?
Gene Shalecki, motion to approve the standing.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Charles Frank, second.
All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries.
Very good. Then without further, I was going to say, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Mofer. Mo?
Yeah. Really will be using for this meeting to review the code changes proposed. And as you see, it's structured in a way that it has everything being submitted for the specific code changes. For this committee, as you see, we have 70 code changes that we need to go through today and take action on them. They're divided by subcode and so on. They're mainly, if you look at the code changes, first start with the original mod, meaning that it'll give you the history of the original mod, and then the text of the mod, what is the modification, what the proponent has submitted for review. Now, some other, that's really majority of them, but some of them would have some additional stuff. For example, let's go into, by the way, to find the mod without, to find the mod, Control F, you can type in the mod that you want to search for because there's a bunch of material there. Let's say 6959 and hit enter, it'll come up. And this mod, for example, you will see is a little bit different than the first one we reviewed. It has an alternate language, meaning that the proponents or somebody else have came in and said, hey, you know, I would like to improve in this mod. So we have an alternate language here that would like that also to be considered. So this alternate language normally, you'll see that, but also you will see the text of the mod, and after the text of mod, you will see the alternate language. So when you approve, when you're going to address this code change, you need to really consider also the alternate language, whether you want to approve it as the mod as submitted, or if you want to consider the alternate language, then you have to approve it as amended. So also you're going to see in some of the mods, there is general comments. Somebody say, hey, you know, I'm in support of this code change. I'm not in support, or I think it should not be updated, or this. This is something general and, you know, for your information. But that's how this really detailed report is structured. Now, one thing I want to point out for the proponent of certain mod, which we did make note to on our website, that certain some of these mods will be considered by more than one TAC. And for this committee, we have three mods that we know that will be considered by more than one TAC, which is mod 6883, 6566, and 6997. I think those are one of the two. The first two is really has to do with the coastal construction control line, which normally will have a structural TAC review the proposals as to provide their feedback on the comment. However, the primary TAC for this will be the special occupancy, and also we have one code change, which is 6997. It's reference accessibility code, so that also will be reviewed by the accessibility TAC next week. So that's really in term, and this chart actually is available on our website if you want to see it, to know which mods it will be taken by more than one TAC. Also, we have a tracking chart. I think I've seen some of you have downloaded those. These are tracking charts really for you to take notes on if you want to. But that's really what I got, and good luck, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mo. Okay. Just to give you an example, unfortunately, we only have seven members present. So what that means is that a 6-1 vote passes and a 5-2 vote fails. 6-1 is 86%, and 5-2 is 71%. So that's our threshold. Only one person can vote against any mod, or if two do, then it will fail, at least on this go-around. Again, that proponent has an opportunity at the July meetings to correct any concerns. First mod number 6962, proponent Mr. Skip Gregory. Mr. Gregory, would you like to speak on the mod? And if you okay. come up here, Skip, that would be helpful too.
I think, Skip, you need to stay here. You have a bunch of them. Stay on the table.
Sit at the front
so
table.
Can hear you.
If you want to make a comment, if you wanted to stand on what's written, then that's up to you, but I presume you want to say something. All right, so I'm going to start the timer.
I don't have a great memory anymore. I can't remember all of the one.
All right. That's fine. I don't either. Probably. All right. X 9-6-2 corrects and clarifies the scoping code required for section of 449.
My name is Skip Gregory. I'm a health facility consultant. This modification is up to the hospital section in the Florida Building Code, section 449. It basically is just cleaning up some language in that section and making it more clear to the user of the code concerning the code requirements for hospitals and how those code requirements are affected to the hospital and when they go into effect to the hospital. Because there has been some confusion on this section having to do with various kinds of modifications.
All right. Does anybody else in the public wish to comment? All right, going to the TAC, is there a second?
Second. Have a second. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously, as submitted. Next mod is also Skip, 6945. Skip? Oops. Seems to be again.
Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting, revises language to remove unnecessary dental language from this section in favor of the established NFPA standard 20 for the installation of stationary pumps for fire protection. And I think it just marks through a lot of language that's in there now that's actually redundant language to what's already in NFPA 20.
All right. Any other public comment? Seeing none, is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. Okay, next is 7008, and Scott Waltz, you are the proponent, sir.
Louder so we can record, please. Thank
you. This location is eliminates the hemodialysis areas as critical care areas. And
I'm sorry, Mr. Waltz, even I can't hear you, so I'm not sure of the recordings. It feels like you're yelling, I know.
Okay. Yeah, location would be to eliminate the hemodialysis areas as critical care areas. And that's in keeping with national standards.
Okay. So the proposed modification removes the hemodialysis rooms from the list of critical care rooms, which is more consistent with the national codes, is what the proponent suggested. Any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second for the purpose of approval.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimously approved as submitted. All right, Mr. Gregory, you have about 100 in a row, so we'll start next with 6959, sir.
And I believe I had a comment on that, so we have to take the comment first.
We don't have to take it. What we should do is let the TAC be aware that there is a comment. It's up to them to decide how they want to deal with the comment, right?
I think there's two things. One is, first of all, there is the actual mod. Is that, first of all, we need to know if the alternate replaced the actual mod or it just modified part of the actual mod. So if it's going to be considered, we need to make sure that we consider both.
Skip, you submitted the comment.
Yes,
I did.
I got it. Okay.
And the comment modifies the original modification but doesn't replace it.
So you need to vote for the mod and the amendment to get both in order to get what you needed?
Yes. Sorry.
This one replaces it. This one do actual replacement. You made changes to four. The text of the mod speaks of 449.3.12.1 and 449.1.12.2. Your alternate cover both sections, am I correct?
That's correct.
So it's replacing.
So it's basically.
Yeah, it's just, like, we need to be clear about it.
So what you're asking the TAC is to approve A1?
Correct.
Okay.
To approve the comment.
So that would be, we would, if they are voted, it would be as modified.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And then A1.
Okay, any additional public comment? Is there a second?
A second.
And that's in support of modification A1. Any discussion?
Did you want me to tell you what the mod is?
If they need it, they'll ask for it. I mean,
yep.
All in favor say aye.
Is that a question first?
Oh, sorry. Yes, Charlie.
What's the rationale of the strike through of the 22,500 square feet for the smoke compartment?
The next edition of the building code is recognizing 40,000 square feet, and also NFPA, that subject has come up at the NFPA annual meeting, and it will come up again this year. So the trend is going towards 40,000 square foot smoke compartments because of the travel distances involved are 200, and 22.5 was based on 150 times 150, which is the size of the smoke compartments used to be. So now they're updating the size of the smoke compartment to 40,000 square feet because that's 200 feet times 200 feet. And so I just eliminated it because it's going to change, and when it changes, the sequences of codes matching up will be years in the making, and that will become incorrect by the next edition.
Okay, any additional questions? All right, then all in favor of modification A1, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? All right, so it's unanimously approved as modified, which is the approving comment A1 in its place. All right. Skip, you're on 6963.
6963?
Yes, sir, 6963.
Okay. Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. There is a requirement in NFPA 70, National Electric Code, that a disconnecting means be provided at all electrical equipment, and within sight of that electrical equipment is how the NFPA 70 is written. So the surveyors who are surveying hospitals are requiring, even though there is a marked breaker in the electrical room and it's colored red, to notify that is part of the fire alarm control panel, the surveyors are requiring that there be another disconnecting means inside of the fire alarm control panel. But they are not requiring those breakers to be identified or secured from unauthorized operations. So anybody could go to the fire alarm control panel in the building and turn the switch off, and then effectively showing the fire alarm system to the building. So what this modification does is require this kill switch or breaker switch, circuit breaker, to the fire alarm control panel to be clearly marked and to be secured against unauthorized operation.
Okay. Is there any additional public comment? Seeing none, is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion?
Just a quick question.
Sure.
Clarify. You're telling me that they're requiring two means of disconnect for the fire alarm panel?
Yes, because one of the disconnect, the circuit breaker that's in the electrical room is not within sight of the person working on the fire alarm control panel, which means that the person could inadvertently turn that circuit breaker off while someone is working on that panel. And so they're requiring that circuit breaker to be distance from the fire alarm control panel.
Any other questions? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the modification as submitted say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? It's approved unanimously as submitted. All right, Skip, 6946. Is there any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion from the TAC or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. All right, Skip, 7051 is next.
Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. So this modification is something that has been a problem because NFPA 110, that is the NFPA manual that covers generator installation and design, and I actually serve on that committee, doesn't clearly identify where the manual stop for the generator should be located. Some people call it an emergency stop, but it's actually referred to in NFPA 110 as a manual stop. And this is a subject that NFPA 110 will probably develop better language of because it's very confusing. So when you go at the field and you're looking at generator installations, you see this emergency stop or manual stop located in all kinds of places. What the actual manual stop in NFPA 110 does is shuts off the generator so that it can be worked on and serviced and not put into and not turned on through a power outage inadvertently. But it's kind of morphed into something called an emergency stop. They have a little hammer that you break this glass and then press a red button that stops the generator. And a lot of people think this is because the generator is going to suddenly run away with itself and burn up. And so they generally locate that emergency stop at or near the exterior of the opening of the generator closure. So it's similar to pulling the emergency hood dump system on a hood. It's required to be 20 feet from the hood in the path of egress out. But I've seen them located 11 feet above the grade on the outside of the structure. And I've asked why that stop is located up there. Guy shrugs his shoulders and says, I don't know, the local fire official wanted it put up there. I guess you have to get a ladder to get up there to operate. And I think that was probably because they were concerned that somebody just inadvertently, you know, some kids maliciously, you know, trying to do that. So what this modification does, it just says, okay, it's not clear in the code where this should be, so let's put it in a particular place. And let's make it tamper-resistant.
All right, well, got that exactly on 3 minutes. All right, is there any additional public comment? Hearing none, is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously as submitted. All right, Skip, 6953. And just so you know, I have this little thing that just lets you know you've got 1 minute, so you kind of get a sense of where you are in timing. If you, I may flash it. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so the language that's in this part of the, excuse me, Skip Gregory Health Facility Consultant, this language that's in this part is, most of this language is deleted or slightly modified to make it more in sync with NFPA 110. We don't need to put things in the building code that are already covered. And specifically indicated as requirements in NFPA 110, since you already have followed NFPA 110. And what happens is if the language gets a little out of sync with NFPA 110, then you have a lot of confusion and don't get the code defined correctly.
Any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously as submitted. 6943, Mr. Gregory.
This has to do, that's Skip Gregory Health Facility Consulting. This has to do with the location of HVAC equipment inside a building. And it's getting at trying to bring this section in the hospital section more into compliance with the Florida Energy Code. Because the way this is written right now, you could actually go and put a HVAC unit in the attic and it not have to be in condition space at all. So this is trying to say, okay, you either locate it, if you're going to locate it inside the building, you locate it inside the condition envelope of the building, and that is more in sync with the Florida Energy Code.
All right. Any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously as submitted. 6947, Skip Gregory.
Gregory Health Facility Consulting. This is additional language needed to permit large operating room suites to be designed so that the smoke barrier may pass across one of the entry doors. So you have smoke barriers in hospitals. You have a limit right now, 22,500 square feet. Once that we were discussing a while ago, once that smoke compartment size is increased to 40,000 square feet, really won't have this problem. But right now you do, because operating rooms have grown in size. The standard operating room has grown from 400 to 600 square feet. And some of the operating rooms now in large hospitals, if you are familiar with those, are even up into the 1,200 square foot size. So when you have an array of operating rooms and they are operating room suite is over 22,500 square feet, you have to have a smoke compartment dividing that suite up. And the way that these operating rooms are designed, you have a sterile core in the servicing the operating rooms from the back, and then you have the patients coming in from the front of the operating room suite. You essentially have two doors. So in order not to cut the suite up across and not be able to service the patients as well, they run the smoke barrier down the side of the operating rooms. And what the hospitals are required to be designed by this section, 449 in the building code, on fire alarm initiation, all the air handling units serving those operating rooms go passive. So you're not having any smoke being forced in from one smoke compartment into the other smoke compartment. So this would just point up the fact that the smoke barriers could be designed to go across the entry to the operating rooms.
Any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. Next is 6877. Skip. Yeah, 6887. I'm sorry. 6877. My apologies.
That's
it's dyslexia, sorry.
This does a couple, Skip Gregory Health Facility Consulting.
That too.
This does a couple of things. The first thing it does is indicate that the intensive residential treatment facility, which was originally written for a camping atmosphere for children, teenagers with mental health problems, and then so they tent out, so the design requirements are you have to be in a tent, and your warmth is supplied by a sleeping bag, and so it's really, the RTF was originally designed as the law and rule. It was really written for these kind of outdoor activity areas. But now, there's a lot of IRTFs inside of buildings. So what code do you use? Because there was no code specified. So this just specifies a code for an IRTF that's located inside of an actual building. The other section changes the way that modular, mobile or transportable units are used to augment hospital services. Some of our rural hospitals in Florida, you know, not everybody can have an MRI, not everybody can have a CT scan. Hospitals don't have enough money to do that, especially the rural hospitals. So they provide services from certain mobile companies that go around on a route, and once a week they come by and you know, get their appointments for an MRI, so they don't have to travel long distances. So this establishes how these how these modular units can be used on a temporary basis, and on a temporary basis, especially for invasive radiology type procedures like cardiac catheterization, which is an invasive procedure, and the mobile units really can't meet all the requirements for that. So what this does is make a temporary use of that. If you have a cardiac cath lab and it goes down suddenly, or you're trying to expand it and you have to take a machine out of service, this will allow you to continue your cardiac cath services, but only on a temporary basis.
All right, any additional public comment? Is there a second? For a negative roll call? Okay. Discussion?
Scott?
I'm sorry, Mr. Waltz. I must have a hearing issue here.
Is on a 449. 3.3.3.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about the temporary use of mobile cath lab. What do you get for temporary use?
So your concern then, if I may, is that what is the definition of temporary? What does that mean?
Right.
Skip, go ahead.
Comment on that, but temporary historically. And set by precedent through the Agency for Healthcare Administration, place of construction office at mid 6 months, maximum 6 months. So that's, but it's not written down in that time space has been utilized as quote unquote temporary.
All right. Scott, do you want to follow up? Okay, is there any further discussion?
I have a question. If we wanted to add something to say 6 months, how would we do that at the next? Do you put another comment on this? Or?
Yes, what you would do is you would submit a comment saying that I'd like for the next period, and when the TAC considered, you would be amending that to include a definition of 6 months. A definition of temporary.
Yeah.
Correct.
Thank
you.
Yep.
So you can do that during this middle period. All right, any further discussion? All right, all those in favor of the modification as submitted, say aye. All opposed? All right, so you have a negative roll call of 0-7, but I think you understand that the concern is just with defining temporary. If you make that public comment, it's likely at the next meeting they would, you know, take it, fix it. It's an NA, sorry, yes, 0-7. There's no affirmative recommendation, and the tax concern is they want temporary defined. And that would address their, my understanding is that would address your concerns, correct, Scott and others? Very good. So, Skip, I think that's, you know, a reasonably easy fix. All right, next is 6887. And just so you know, I know it seems like simple to fix it right now, and we could, but the reality is that there are so many mods, we've got, you know, 500 some odd mods, we just can't do it in this process and get done. So I just want people to know that going into it.
I'm going really fast, though.
No, you are. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying. All right, 6887.
Okay. That's Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. Okay. So this has to do with openings in the resident rooms. The code, the building code and the fire codes don't any longer require any kind of window in the hospital, basically. So the part of this modification for hospitals is to give some information, some additional information, clear up some misunderstandings about windows in the patient rooms that you have to have. Number one, you have to have a vista. Number two, how big that vista has to be. It also talks about ductwork that you have to have separation from walls so that they can be inspected, and it gives you a range of that because the inspector is going to a building and the hospital is being constructed, and if the ductwork, which has now had insulation placed around it, is now closer than the defined amount in this code now, they make them rip all the ductwork down and redo it, which is just a really tough situation and basically a waste of money. So this changes that and gives you a range that you can use. It also talks about in the way that these codes are written, both the hospital and nursing home codes are written, your fire smoke barrier must track uninterrupted all the way through the building into the through the attic space if it's a wood frame building, through the attic space to die at the underside of the roof deck. And these smoke barriers are not always parallel to the trusses. They sometimes have to jog and move around in a not totally straight line because of the design of the rooms on the first floor. So this specifically allows the roof trusses in that attic space above the fire barrier to penetrate that smoke barrier wall. Smoke barrier, not smoke barrier wall. So that's the other section.
All right, any additional public comment?
Comment from Ken Durbin.
Well, why don't you get a second, Ken? Is there a second? Ken, you want to offer a second? Yeah, well, just, we still need a second. For purposes of discussion. All right, and Ken, you're first, and then Scott. Ken?
449341, could you clarify what rationale you're using for striking outside the building and adding an atrium as an acceptable?
Yes, Skip Gregory, Outfield Consulting. Well, first of all, we've always allowed windows open onto atriums. There are hospitals like that, many hospitals like that, in Florida now. It's never been actually in the code, in this particular code, but it has been acceptable practice, I guess, in terms of trying to codify it here. Some of the atriums are quite, well, windows opening onto those atriums are quite large and planted with trees and shrubs and so forth, so it's actually quite a nice view out that window, and they're all skylit. So there's Health Park and Health Park Hospital and Fort Myers, and
so it's just it's,
so there are a number of hospitals that already have
it. It's President's Park Campus, it's not good. It's my understanding that outside the building is for daylight requirement, not just for views. And unless there's something that says the atrium must have natural light admitted to the atrium, I think it kind of goes against the intent of this section.
Yeah, you're right. You know, that is the, that's good for the health service consulting. That is one of the important issues with windows and perennial light patterns. Has been shown to improve.
Yeah, but it's conceivable that an atrium is not necessarily daylight. It's codified.
I agree with that, and so we can certainly add that, that the that there would have to be a natural daylight provided in the atrium.
Ken, do you have any follow-up?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any follow-up? All right. I believe, Scott, you were next.
Yeah.
Scott, if you don't mind, just amplify. Thanks.
449, 3.4.8, strike out the word fire-rated walls in favor of the language fire-rated walls or smoke barrier. This is addressing the Dr. Work location. So I'll expect you. Is it the intent to only apply that to fire walls and smoke barriers and not the partitions at the front of it?
Correct. Smoke partitions would not, just the way this is written now, this would only, this would, well, the way it's originally written, is all fire smoke rated walls, and this makes it, what this revision does is make that distinction between fire rated walls, which could be a 2-hour rated wall, like an occupancy separation wall or a firewall, and a smoke barrier wall. So those are the important walls to be sure that you understand how the fire rating is and any penetrations above that ductwork, how those fire ratings are maintained. So you have to visually inspect those. To do that, a corridor wall, which is a smoke partition, is a non-rated wall, and it's very easy to look at from the floor to look at the top of that wall. All you have to do is see that it's mudded or, you know, that you don't, no big holes in it. So you don't have to actually look at the type of UL penetration detail that would be required in these different ones.
We do look at those portal walls as well.
to that, but you go on the other side of the loop, so there only has to be smoke resistant on one side. You have access to the non-rated wall if you,
All right, Scott, do you?
I didn't add non-rated walls in because that wasn't the original intent in this section.
All right.
Not specified non-rated walls.
Scott, do you have any follow-up? Okay. Any other questions or discussion? All right. Hearing none. All those in favor, say aye. All opposed, like sign.
Aye.
All right, so it's 0-7, no affirmative recommendation, and the rationale, if I was to summarize it, and I will let others do it, is that one, going to Ken's comment, is that I believe the atrium windows should provide natural lighting. Is that what we're getting to?
It's an atrium must provide natural daylight if that's an acceptable
right. Okay, so that's one comment. And the second is the issue, I believe, from Scott's issue, is that that's an issue still for you in terms of the beyond the fire rated wall and smoke barrier. You would like to also see the... And what are the petitions called? Smoke partitions. So you want to include smoke partitions. So you have two comments, Skip. Include smoke partitions and ensure that the atrium windows provide natural daylight. Got that okay, Marlia? Very good. Okay. Then we move on to the next one, which is 7045, and that's, let's skip again.
7045. Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. 7045 is a new section in the standard for hospital. What we found was that there's a dialysis requirement in the FGI guidelines for how you handle a specific dialysis department, but there was never anything written in the guidelines for a patient being admitted to the hospital for other reasons, but that patient is also a dialysis user. So he comes into the hospital here, he comes in the hospital with a with using dialysis, but he's really in the hospital for other reasons. And this this language will address that issue so that dialysis can be done at the patient room. So while this patient is in the hospital, maybe for other things, and he's a dialysis user, dialysis can be performed in the inpatient room. So it's a new section covering that issue.
All right, any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second for discussion.
Okay, a second for discussion. Scott?
Section 449.316.1.4 requires a dedicated equipment room for a clean business like health equipment. Is it intended for that to be exclusively for that purpose? Or
there's a dedicated equipment room for cleaning?
Yes.
That would take, generally hospitals have dialysis departments, and they have, as part of that dialysis department, they have a cleaning and disinfection equipment room where those dialysis machines are kept and cleaned and refurbished and ready to go back again. So this is just saying, you have these other requirements that are not as stringent as a dialysis department requirement, but it's because it's a going in patient rooms, but you still have to have a place to disinfect the machine.
But is it currently exclusively for that purpose? Is it used currently for exclusively for dialysis disinfectant cleaning? Or connecting that currently with other
No, if there's already a dialysis room than they already have in the room. If they don't offer dialysis services, then they'd have to have a room.
That reminds me of everything. If he does go with it, so.
The way I understand how the dialysis system works, they have a specific cleaning procedure. They have to go through that thing where they provide that service. And I don't think, if they don't have already an equipment room as part of their dialysis department, and they're just going to offer this inpatient dialysis, I think they have to have a equipment room for the dialysis machines to be stored and then refurbished and cleaned. I wouldn't think that would ever be done in the central supply.
Yes, you want to say that. So, Scott, we're having a hard time hearing you, so I know you're soft-spoken. If you could just make an extra effort to speak loud. But I understand you were speaking and asking Skip about the dedicated equipment room. It sounds like he satisfied your concerns. Okay.
If I may, April Hammond's attorney for the Building Commission, I did notice that you said there'd be no fiscal impact, but based on the discussion and reading what I'm reading, if there's not a dedicated room or some type of equipment, wouldn't that require them to obtain that, and wouldn't that imply at least some fiscal impact?
Skip Berg, Health Facility Consulting, well, the whole section has some amount of impact if they want to do this. This is not a requirement. This is a choice. And so I didn't feel like it would be an impact on every hospital since it's not a requirement for every
system. Thank you for the clarification, sir.
Very good. Any further discussions?
There's a typo the word reverse, and reverse osmosis is missing the letter.
All right, so that can be corrected, which is just corrective spelling for on 4493.16.1.1, the word reverse needs an E.
Yeah.
All right. I think that we could still call that as submitted, right? Is the script?
Yeah.
All right. All in favor of the modification, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted, understanding that we're correcting the Scrivener's error on the word reverse. 6965. Skip.
Okay.
Hey, it's the life of a consultant, you know? Come on.
Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. I wrote all these sections. Okay. So disclosure, I wrote all this stuff to begin with.
The original stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the original author. And we wrote this after Hurricane Andrew because we were trying to respond to the legislature. There was a statute passed after Hurricane Andrew. 1992, that said all hospitals would be designed to be self-sufficient immediately after and during a storm event. Something in language like that. And yet, so we tried to address that. And in some cases, such as this section on fire protection standards, we really I think went overboard because there isn't really any way if you have disruption of your fire protection system immediately following a hurricane event, and the way the codes are written, if you're over right now the way the codes are written is over 4 hours, and the next edition of the code will be over 10 hours of downtime for a sprinkler system or other fire life safety service, you'll have to evacuate the building. So the water storage capacity would be so huge to no one's ever done this. Let's put it that way. No one's ever tried to store water on site. The fire extinguishers, we tried to think of a way to have an interim life safety measure, and so we put in these fire extinguishers. And that that may or may not be a good idea. I took this out because I would rather see the hospitals develop their own interim life safety measures when they have something like a sprinkler outage. And the hospitals already do that. That is part of their standing operating procedures. What do we do if we lose our fire line? We go on a fire line. What do we do if we lose our sprinkler system? Again, we go on a fire watch. You have to create an interim life safety measure to be in compliance with the CMS requirements. So this was sort of a basically redundant, and it's, the rationale lawyer says it's already mandated by other codes and by the federal government that they address the situation.
Okay. Any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimously recommended for approval as submitted. All right, 6950. Skip.
This is in the what we call our what is known as the hurricane standards for nursing homes and hospitals, and this deals only with hospitals. And it basically, the building codes already address this. I mean, the building code, when we wrote this back in 1992, a lot of the building codes did not have specific requirements for roofing. As the building codes have evolved, these things are already taken, have been taken up by the existing, by the current building codes. What I wanted to leave in there, however, was, you know, loose lay ballasted roofs. They don't do well with water. If you're parked within, you know, a couple of blocks of the hospital, you come back and your car windows are all gone. Now, that's the experience that we've had during Charlie, doing damage assessments, during Ivan, damage assessments, and so forth. So we don't want ballasted roofs, and there are a lot of other reasons for that, on hospitals. And we want to keep the roof appendages that are on the building to meet all of the requirements, so they don't get blown off the building. The other stuff that was in this section is really not... It is not required to have a roofing membrane material that is going to meet the wind load requirements.
All right, any additional public comment? Is there a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. 6964. Additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. Okay, 6948. And there is a comment here, which looks like it was submitted by you. So the question is the comment a replacement or is it in addition to? Looks like it's an entire replacement, but I want you to make that determination, not me. Right? Yeah. looks like to me, too.
Sorry, just a minute, I've lost my place here.
So the first question, Skip, is are you asking the TAC to approve the common and replacement of the original? And that's what it looks like, but you should determine that.
Yes. Skip Berry, Health Facility Consulting. These space standards in the rule actually are important to remain in the rule. And after after I took a look at it again and had some hospitals developing emergency plans based on these space standards, it's like, oh my gosh, you can't take that out. We're using that section. So this comment just puts everything back the way it was, leaves it alone. Hands off.
It's withdrawal.
Okay, so if you withdrew your amendment, would you be covered?
I will withdraw my amendment.
Very good. Let the record reflect withdrawn by applicant.
Yeah.
All right, 6960.
So 6948 withdrawn, period.
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure, not only the opt-in.
Right, he's saying the alternate just put back in.
I understand, but I think there's more into it, into the original, so I'm just going to make sure that everything out.
So just to be clear, Skip, when you withdrew it, it's gone. So you're comfortable.
Correct. It goes back to the original.
To the original.
What's currently there stays.
That's all right.
So that works for you, right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
That's 6948, right?
Correct. Yes. 6948 withdrawn. So now we're on 6960. And there's alternate language on this one as well,
yes.
Which presumably is what you want instead. But
so.
Correct. And you have an alternate there.
Okay. The alternate language has to do first part of that alternate language has to do with the location of HVAC equipment on the roof of hospital or healthcare buildings. The way the code is written now, you have to protect the ductwork from large missile impact 30 feet or below, and small missile impact is above 30 feet. But looking at buildings, we just looked at a building the other day that was an 8-story building, had some ductwork that was slightly exposed to the exterior of the building. And it was on the roof. And the ductwork, they were having to, you know, spend another $60,000 to add enough shrouding around some of the ductwork that was outside the screening of the building. And I discussed this with Joe Herwig, who is the mechanical engineer administrator at the Agency for Healthcare Administration. And you know, he's like, what are we doing here? That even if a size small missile impact gets up to 8 stories high and puts a hole in some ductwork, even then the ductwork is going to continue to operate. And the point of the hurricane, these hurricane provisions in the first place was to be sure that the HVAC system supplying air to the hospital would not be interrupted. And so we just felt that anything above 30 feet, which is subject to small missile impact, would not be an interruption of the HVAC serving the hospital. So we changed it, or I changed it, in, you know, working with the mechanical engineer administrators to not require protection from small missile impact for the HVAC equipment located above 30 feet. The other sections in here are just clarifications and editorials.
All right. Is there any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
This is not the whole mod. This is just a piece of that 6960 mod.
So are you asking them to approve the mod and the alternate together?
Approve the alternative language and then with that alternate language approve the mod.
Plus alternate.
Sorry, Mo?
So original plus alternate.
Exactly. So the request, is that your motion, Scott, to approve the original and the alternate? He needs both of them together, in other words.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion, and we have a second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's approved as amended, which is including the mod and alternate one. All right, 6993 is next. And that has an A2, which, if you could clarify whether that's a substitute entirely or you need the mod and the A2, as amended by the A2.
6993. This is just an editorial. It had copied and pasted, didn't change all the correct numbers. So this mod, this is actually for nursing homes, not hospitals. So it just is the comment here is to change, is editorial comment to change 449 to 450.
So you need the mod and the amendment, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
So the request is to approve the mod with comment A2. Is that correct, Skip?
That's correct.
All right. Any additional public comment? Is there a second?
I have a second for discussion.
Okay. Go ahead, Scott. And please project.
In 450.2.2, part 6, the ventilation of the facility disruption, is that the intent to
3.2, the 2014 edition of the guidelines is the nursing home. There's another modification here to reference the 2014 edition of the guidelines and when we get to the nursing home section, there's a mark through that whole nursing home rule in referencing the guidelines. This, the whole guide, the entire guidelines, and this, the in this section, these are codes that would reference the nursing home requirements of the guidelines, which then references part 1 and part 6.
Does that address your comments, Scott?
It does, yeah.
Any additional discussion? Yeah. All those in favor of the mod as amended, including comment A2, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as amended, the mod and comment A2.
it's A1 as well.
Just A2, there is, there is no A1.
I missed A1.
Yeah, there wasn't one.
Okay,
very good. Then we move on to mod number 7052.
This is, it's Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. This is the same one we already voted on for hospitals, and now we have to do all the same ones for a nursing home. So this is the generator stop for a nursing home. Exactly the same language as we already voted on.
They voted in favor of it, yes. All right, any additional public comment? Hearing none, is there a second?
Second report.
All right, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Bob?
Two Scrivener errors there, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What
check
are they?
Emergency and opening.
Emergency and opening. All right. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted with the Scrivener errors noted. 6990. And there is a comment,
A5.
It's just a computer thing. Yeah.
It has two on.
So there's A5 and A6.
And A7.
So the question is, are these, you need all three of these, and that, and is that in lieu of the original mod or in addition to the original mod?
It's an addition to the original modification.
All right, so the original plus three comments, which is A5, 6, and 7 respectively, correct?
I think I thought I only made one comment.
I think you made three.
It may be that you didn't even realize you broke them out. It's probably all part of one. If you stop one and come back later, it will renumber, right, Joe?
It could, yeah.
That's possible. I mean, I'm not saying that's what happened.
Okay, it's
pretty long.
That's what it looks like.
It's a big mod.
Yeah, because A6 is just sort of providing some rationale. A7 starts to get, it's the same thing, it's just a rationale. And I think really their actual, no, A7 actually gets into the gist of it. Yeah, I it looks like that's what happened. You probably were just making one comment, but it parsed out.
Basically.
Okay. It's pretty long, though. It's pretty much striking out an entire, in 453, mostly striking out the entire section.
A6 and A7 is actual approach.
Yeah. I think 5 might be as
well. 5 might be
A7. Right. 5 is the, you're right. 5 is the fiscal impact statement.
Looks like. Rationales.
Yeah, it looks like it just got separated out.
No, I think it's more of a, they came in separate, so I think.
Okay.
And normally, in order to do often, if you have to put language in the text of mod, so he already did that. So I guess.
Okay.
Let's hear it from him.
It's like A6 is something different than A5.
Yeah. Is that the comments? I mean, the
this
commentary.
Is, yeah, this is A5.
Okay, that's A.
And they're all by the same by you.
Six.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. There's three different ones.
Okay.
I misread.
So, Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. So the this large modification is, I want to just talk to you about the modification first, then we'll talk about the comments, but if you can leave the comments up on the screen. So the modification itself is a complete strike, almost a complete strike through, except for the hurricane requirements and a few other additional things that are being left in of the existing nursing home rule. Right now in Florida, we do not reference a nationally recognized design code for nursing homes. What this mod does, like we do for hospitals, what this mod does is say, okay, we're no longer going to write our own state-specific nursing home rule. We're going to adopt the national guidelines, and then we're going to add things to those guidelines that are specific for Florida, such as our hurricane department, and some other things that that particular code doesn't pick up. So that's the overall, this is a very big modification, because if you can see that it's a strike through of a whole existing rule in favor of the nationally recognized standard. So that was the original modification. So it came back, and the comments on those revisions had to do with, I think the first was limited, taking out the reference to the 22,500 square feet smoke department size, which we already talked about, because that's not, that's contained in the fire codes and in the building codes. And then the other one.
So that was A5.
Private mode, which is similar to the one we did for hospitals. So that's the private mode fire alarm sequencing in nursing homes. And we have a tremendous problem in our healthcare facilities because some jurisdictions won't permit private mode fire alarm for being used as permitted in an FDA 72, for being used in hospitals and nursing homes. So you get these horns, which are amazingly loud now. You're not deaf when you go into a nursing home. You soon will be deaf because they have to test the fire alarm often. And if you put a fire alarm strobe and horn in every resident room and in every resident room toilet room, you're actually going to deafen them. So that is to just put the private mode back in, and the first, I think it's the first one up there, has to do with a change in NFPA 99. There's a categorical change in the use of basic care rooms as opposed to critical care rooms, and nursing homes are basic care rooms. So we wanted to specify to the designer that he would design the electrical requirements to meet NFPA 99 as a basic care room, not a critical care room. So that's what the comments do. And then the mod already explained that.
Right. Okay. So the request then is to approve the mod in comment A5, A6, and A7.
Correct.
Right. Is there any further public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as modified. The modification including comment A5, A6, and A7. All right, 6986. Let's
see. This is the, I'm giving you, that Skip Gregory, Health Story Consulting. We're doing two for ones today, since everything we already voted on in the hospitals, we have to then do the nursing home too, because most of these are going to be the same. So this particular one is the same, but there's a comment, and it's the same comment that was on the hospital one having to do with the impact of the HVAC induction. There was a comment on this, right?
It's so far down. Yes, let's see, 6986. There is a comment A1. And you want the mod and the comment?
Correct.
All right. Is there any additional public comment? Is there a second? We have a second, which is to approve the modification and comment A1. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as modified, the mod including comment A1. All right, 6994. And there is not a comment on that one, so. 94.
Skip Rigby, Help Facility Consulting. This is the same language that we approved, that you approved already on the roofing material, and but this is for nursing homes.
All right, is there any additional public comment? Is there a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. All right, next is 7043.
Skip Gregory, Help Facility Consulting. This is the same comment having to do with the deletion of the sprinkler requirements for hurricane issues that we are, that you already voted on.
Okay. Any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. Okay, next is 6967. Sorry? Joe? Okay. Yes, sir. 6967. And the last one, 7043, was 7-0 as submitted. 6967.
Okay. Skip Gregory, Help Facility Consulting. This is a similar language having to do with the remote stop and having to do with coordinating with NFPA 110, that having to do with the language, deleting language that's already specified in NFPA 110, but this is for ambulatory surgical surgeons.
Okay. Is there any additional public comment? Is there a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. Next is 6971. And that does have comment A1. I think it's just, yeah, just as one comment. So then the question is the comment in lieu of or in addition to the original mod?
Assisted living facilities are not noted in the Uniform Fire Code. They are, therefore, to be reviewed under the minimum standards of the fire code, under the minimum fire code. The Florida Fire Prevention Code has two standards, uniform and minimum. All the facility types that are be reviewed under the uniform are listed by the rule and by the standard, by the statute, ALFs are not in that section. ALFs, ambulatory surgical centers, ASCs, are not in that section, so therefore they're in the minimum fire code section 633.208. So this corrects that in this section of the ordinance.
Okay, so what it sounds like is you're asking them to approve the modification plus comment A1.
Correct.
All right, is there any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, it's unanimous as modified, including comment the mod plus comment A1. All right, 7054 is next. And there is no comment. This is a generator remote manual stop. I think it's similar to what we did.
7052.
Can I stop you for 1 minute?
Yeah.
Approved as modified on the last one, including comment A1 and
the original mod.
And original comment.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, 7054 is next, Skip. It looks like the exact same thing we did previously for another area.
Right.
Yeah, for ambulatory surgery centers.
453.
Yeah, it's the same. Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. This is the same language that has already been approved concerning the generator remote stops.
Any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. All right, 6970.
This is a deletion of the operating room sizes required for an ambulatory surgery center, and the deletion is to make this section coordinated with the new reference, 2014 reference of the FGI guidelines, which has eliminated these classes of operating rooms in favor of another type of designation.
All right, is there any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. 6966 is next.
Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. This modification does a couple of different things. Number one, it doesn't permit fiberglass dustboard in the healthcare facility ambulatory surgery center because fiberglass dustboard introduces material into the airstream, and even if it's covered, it gets damaged. So we're not. This modification does not permit fiberglass ductboards. There are other ductboards other than steel that can be used, but just not this particular class of them. The second part of this modification makes it clear to the reviewers that ambulatory surgery centers are not covered under any hurricane requirements because they're electric surgery centers. And the statute that originally directed the agency to write hurricane standards specifically did not include ambulatory surgery centers because they just shut down if a hurricane is coming in. They're not critical to the healthcare needs of the Floridians, UL's hospitals and nursing homes. And then, although ambulatory surgery centers generally have ducted air supply and return, there's nothing in the rule right now that would actually require a new ambulatory surgery center from having a completely ducted system. So that last part of the modification, new language, just makes it clear that they will have that. And that's important because they have to maintain pressure relationships between operating rooms and janitor's closets and other such spaces.
Okay. Any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second report.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. Okay, next is 6969.
Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. This is the same language that was utilized for the hospitals and deletes a lot of redundant language that's already covered in NFPA 20. And
all right, is there any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. 6968, and then you're going to get a little break, Skip, before you have to come back again.
I'm good, but there's no break.
No, I'm saying this is the last one before another proponent comes in.
Okay, good.
You've got others later on, but this is 6968.
6968?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Okay. The Ambulatory Surgery Center rule section in the building code did not have similar language concerning smoke barriers and how they're being constructed and inspected. So this language takes similar language from the hospital section and the nursing section and applies it to the Ambulatory Surgery Center section.
All right. Is there any additional public comment? Is there a second?
Second report.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. All right, so I believe before Mr. Whitehead will be ready, we're going to take, what would you like to take, Mr. Chairman?
10 minute
break. So at exactly at exactly 5 minutes till 11, we're going to start. So be ready.
Thank you.